Sounds like the sound is on and plenty loud, but that's okay. Seems good to be back in Canada again. I will give you a report on the trip to Africa, but before I do, just want to mention that last Thursday we loaded a container, a 20-foot container, for Steve and Heidi McCandless. Now, some of you will have know of them. His brother actually attends the Forest Bible Chapel north of Sarnia, and I've met him a few times. Steve and Heidi spend their time in Pond Inlet on Baffin Island. They left to go back to Pond Inlet. Now, if you think that some of these mission stations in Africa are remote, Pond Inlet on Baffin Island is remote. Their container had mostly food on it. For example, a 2 kilo bag of sugar is about $14 up there. Now, Pond Inlet is a dry community. However, they always find ways of getting alcohol into the community, and it's a big challenge for the community. Steve and Heidi are spending a lot of their time with the children. They invite them over after school, and they teach them a song, and they give them a muffin or a cupcake or whatever. And they know that. In fact, it's pretty desperate sometimes. The highest suicide rate in the world, or in Canada, is in Pond Inlet. There's about 1,500 people, about 3 kilometers of road, and not many vehicles. Most of them drive snow machines or ATVs, and there was a snow machine on board this one. But when they fly from Ottawa, they go to Inuvik, and then up to Pond Inlet. It's about $4,500 for a ticket. I mean, it's cheaper than that to go to Africa. There's not much. If it's there, they can get it. One ship a year sends the containers up, and it'll arrive there probably around the 3rd of September. It's a little late this year, but that's just an estimated time of arrival. I find it interesting because we think of missionaries in foreign countries as being remote and away from us, but consider Steve and Heidi McCandless up there in Pond Inlet and pray for them, because they really need our prayer when it comes to the gospel and the work among the Inuit people. When we went to Zambia, Tom Browning, who helps with the containers on a regular basis, a retired police officer from the Toronto Police. He was actually a staff sergeant and retired from the SWAT team. And an Irish man full of blarney, full of fun. I'm glad we had him on our trip. There was never a dull moment in that sense. Phil Granger from north of Barrie, he came along as well. And he was asked to come because the roof on the duplex at Chitokoloki, the guest house, was completely done for, and it was leaking all over the place. And so when we got there, the roof had been taken off. And this time of year, the weather is sunny and dry. In fact, the last Friday morning, we were sitting outside with the staff, the maintenance staff. They usually sit on benches. There's about anywhere from 14 to 20 men, and they would sing the songs. They have a songbook. You do it this way or this way, and it gets confusing. One is in Luvali and the other is Lalunda, and they give you a number, and I don't know which side is which, but the language is written phonetically, so it's not hard to pronounce once you get a hold of it. And the tunes are familiar, so that was a good thing. But I found one particular song of interest. We never sang it, I just noticed it. Number 65 in the Mayatso, and the other is Tumina. And it was a song that said, "No life in witchcraft." Local tune, "No life in witchcraft." And we're going to be talking a bit about something that is dear to my heart in a few moments. But I found that when we arrived, We stayed at the Mission Flight House in Lusaka. It's a long trip, 16 hours of flying. You know, you go right from Toronto to Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. Then we went to Harare in Zimbabwe and then to Lusaka. On the way back, we stopped in the same places, but also in Dublin, Ireland, to refuel before we crossed the ocean. When you see the nationals in their environment, you realize that their relationship with Jesus Christ is very shallow because of the unavailability of teaching on a regular basis, particularly at Chitokoloki, where there is a hospital and the community has grown up around the hospital as a result of that. It was never that way, intended that way, but they actually service an area of 250 kilometers. So they come from the Congo and from Angola to these hospitals. When I think about these people, the missionaries are doing as much as they can in bringing the teaching to them. The assembly, the hall that we were in on Sunday mornings, it was fairly large. It was about half full. Most of the time, the women sit on the one side, the men on the other. This is just the custom. Or maybe it's just that the men aren't coming as the women are coming. And that's another thing to pray for. Gord Hanna, while we were there, and you probably read it in last week's missionary prayer items, he had a week of meetings with the staff, the nurses and some of the doctors from the hospital who are invited by and paid by the Zambian government to work in the hospital. Now, Chitokoloki provides housing for them, and it's pretty good housing compared to what the other nationals live in. Grass huts and mud huts and everything else. What I found interesting, we were able to attend the meeting on the Thursday night because we had been away. And Gord Hanna was teaching, and he has a certain way of bringing the truths of God's word down to the grassroots of their living and their understanding of scriptures. He's been there for 33 years. You would probably think that he would have some greater idea of that. As a result of those meetings, and on the Monday that we were working around the yard there, I noticed three men coming up, three natives coming up, and they were well-dressed. And I thought they might have been government officials, but they were three of the medical staff that had been at these meetings, which I found out later. And they came to Gordon and said, "Will you do some more teaching?" Their thought was, and their expression was, that they had never heard any of this before, and they were fascinated by the scriptures and the truths and the teaching of the scriptures. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Part of the problem in Zambia, not Zambia alone, we experienced that while we're missionaries in Swaziland, and I'm speaking to other missionaries along the way. One of the blessings that we have working at MSC is we see and meet a lot of people. And I'm not there all the time, but when they do come in, they usually come into the warehouse part or into my office, and we'll have some chats and things like that. And it's great. And that's one of the blessings that we do have. But one of the problems when a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in an African country, and it's not just exclusive to Zambia, is that they have less understanding because of the lack of teaching. And what happens is that oftentimes when they are challenged with either sickness or some other problems and concerns, they don't go to the scriptures and to the Lord. They seem to go back to the witch doctor and those in the village who have the authority over them. That's a challenge. That's what we need to pray for in regards to Zambia and these other countries. I found it interesting that on the last Monday we were there, Gord Han and myself, he was driving back to Lusaka. He had some meetings, and so I volunteered to drive with him, 16 hours of driving over 2 days. And on the first night, on the Monday night, we stayed in Ndola at Bangalore Lodge. It was a place where we took a couple of rooms. And in the morning, at breakfast table, this, you won't find this in North America. There were about four tables that were occupied with men, and there was one lady there. And when I came into the room, Gord Han was already sitting at one of the tables. But these four tables, I should back up just one moment. There was a industrial, convention in Ndola where people from all across the Zambia would come. But these four tables were in lively conversation with one another. And I found it interesting that the topic that they were discussing was that their country was so backward because the people were so tied to their witch doctor. Secular people talking about this. See, Stephen Boichi Adam, who's now with the Lord, was the African director for Transworld Radio when we were there. And he always said this. He was from Ghana. He said, Africa knows God, but Africa needs Jesus, which is very true. It's very true. We had the opportunity on the first Wednesday. We flew from Chit to, it won't make any difference to you, Dipalada to Sikeji, which is a mission school. And then the following day from Sikeji to Loloma to Chit. And then on the next day we went to Chivuma. Now, all that to say, at each place we were introduced to some of the local folk that were serving in the different hospitals and at the schools and things like that, all just to consider about continued viability of the container ministry or the Acts ministry to Zambia. All of them affirmed that. And but at Chivuma, I just want to share this. Just the week previous to us getting there was a young doctor, 52 years old, dropped dead of a heart attack, a native. Actually, he was from Angola. He was a Congolese doctor. And this left Tamako and Ayuma, you might remember those names, two Chinese gals or Japanese gals that serve as nurses at the hospital. But when we got there on the Friday, when we drove up, it's a 2.5 hour drive one way, there are already three extra people. Dr. Vincent left Tokoloki and went to Chivuma. And they had three other people. There was Edward, who now is the administrator, and there was a lady who was the accountant, and there was a third young man who we spent some time talking. He's from Lusaka, and he is a understudy. He's a surgeon that wants to be a surgeon and considering serving at Chivuma. These things are happening. I want to mention one more thing in relation to Africa and third world countries. Dr. David McAdam is the surgeon, the Irish surgeon at Chitokoloki. And he was away in Ireland and Scotland. And when we arrived back in Lusaka on the Wednesday just before we left, he had just returned. And he and I were able to spend that evening together and part of the next day because there wasn't many people at the guest house. Very a delightful man, committed to the Lord and committed to the work. He had just received an honorary degree from Glasgow University. Now, to put this into perspective, rewind the clock back a long ways. David Livingstone got the same honorary degree. While he was serving, this was about a year ago or more, a young lady from Glasgow came and served at the hospital and was enamored and fascinated with what was going on and what the amount of work was being done there and the surgeons and all that kind of stuff, the procedures. She went back to her father, who was a leading professor in the medical field at the University of Glasgow. And so the connection came. Only 3 men per year receive a reward. This particular year happened to be regarding the field of surgery around the world. What interested me was the fact that he said this: out of all the people in the world, only 2 billion have access to surgery, and you and I are one of those blessed people. 7 billion do not have that opportunity. 7 billion people. And so Dr. McAdams represented the boots on the ground. Pray for your missionaries. You never know who they are affecting. There were 3 young ladies that are in nursing training, and they're from Windsor, Ontario. They were there. We had lunch with them on a number of occasions at different missionary homes. Some of these young gals are coming from missionary parents and are studying, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord would call them back to the mission field. When I said about this song, "No Life in Witchcraft," this particular topic has been on my mind for some time. And I just want to share with you, it's a matter of exhortation, but it's for me. And that is, it's found in Colossians chapter 1, if you'd turn with me to that. Colossians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 24. It says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach." Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, there are many mysteries in the scriptures. Mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16. There is the mystery of God and Christ in Colossians 2 and 2, Revelations 10 and 7. There is the mystery of the kingdom of God in Luke chapter 8, verse 10, and Mark 4:11. There is the mystery of the faith in 1 Timothy 3, 9 and 16. And there is the mystery of Christ in Colossians 4, 3. There are a number of mysteries. But this particular mystery is in relation to the church, which is you and I. The mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I don't know about you, but doesn't that excite you just a little bit when you think about it? What is the Christian life? But see, anyone who is a Christian has heard that from the beginning of a relationship, it's a permanent relationship in Jesus Christ, or with Jesus Christ. That's true. That's very true. However, we are given to know, based on the fact of what Jesus did for us, provide in providing a personal relationship with him in this salvation, that we are in turn expected to do something for him. Is that not true? Most Christianity is based on the expression of doing something for Christ, living for Jesus, doing something for him. And our whole lives can become busy for him. And the whole basis of the Higher Catechism, of course, is to what? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Christ in you, the hope of glory, glorifies the Father. Isn't it time that we recognize the fact that Christ lives in us? In us. Is the Lord Jesus Christ really interested in my energy or ability? God gave his only begotten Son to us who believe in order that he might live, what? In us. And this, of course, happened at Pentecost when the believers were gathered in the upper room and received the Holy Spirit. And why did it happen? Because God, through Christ, wants to live his life through me. His life being lived through me is not dependent on how clever I am, does it? But dependent only upon who he is in me. When I think of these natives in Africa, they're trying to do their best, and they fail, and we do too, of course. God is not really interested in my ability, but in my availability. I believe that Satan always focuses on the doings, while Christ emphasizes the beings. We were not created as human doings, were we? But as human beings. I'm going to quote Dr. Jerry Benjamin. I don't know if any of you have heard of Dr. Jerry Benjamin. He wrote a series of books called Little Nuggets. And I met him, had the opportunity to meet him last September down in up in Wisconsin. In fact, he came and sat with us for one meal, and then he sat with us at another meal. He is commanded from the Assemblies out of Colorado Springs. But listen to what he says. He says, today we have substituted activity for identity. By the way, Dr. Jerry Benjamin is a Messianic Jew. Substituted activity for identity. Doing instead of being. Religious works for Christ replaces a relationship with Christ. We have predicated spirituality on performing rather than abiding. In fact, we equate business with spirituality. Job's comforters were severely rebuked for having fashioned their understanding of God on what they did for God rather than receiving the revelation of God. Religious activity has become the paramount alternative to a growing, deepening, and intimate fellowship with the person of Christ. There is only one Christian life, he says. It is the life of Christ. Simply and succinctly stated, the Christian life is Christ. And there is only one person who can live the Christian life, right? Christ, he says. Here is a statement that if anything that I say tonight, it's a statement that he makes that I would really like if you could memorize it, even get it. Jesus Christ, he says, he gave his life for us, so that he can give his life to us in order to live his life in us and through us. I'm going to repeat that. He gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us in order to live his life in us and through us. The Christian life is not my doing what I can for Christ, but what he can do in and through me. And what he wants to do with me. And when we make this discovery, it does not mean my problems are over. In fact, they may just be beginning. However, because we know that the Lord Jesus is living within us, we have the privilege of another dimension of trust. The anticipation of all he is going to do within me and through me as I go about my daily routine of life, knowing that all the while the Lord Jesus is in charge and completely adequate for every situation. Oh, if I could only keep that going through my little noodle. See, I no longer have to try and impress God with my own ability. I no longer need to be concerned about what others are ready, when they're ready to criticize me because of my lack of ability. It shouldn't concern me. Simply the reason being Christ has set us free. He set us free. What is faith according to Hebrews chapter 1 or 11 verse 1? I'm going to read a few verses there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. By faith, Abel, and it goes on to Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Sarah, and all of these live by faith. I read a statement, and I'm going to quote it here. Faith is the link that binds our nothingness to God's almightiness. Faith is a link that binds our nothingness to God's almightiness. Faith is the relationship between God and a person, right? Faith is made possible by the one who died at Calvary for me. And by virtue of his dying for me, he has now given his life to me. He now lives in me for the purpose of living his life through me, as Dr. Jerry Benjamin mentioned. He establishes the relationship the moment I invite him into my life. And as I discover the reality of who he is, among many other attributes, he's absolutely faithful and he's true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I have the privilege of trusting the one who is faithful and a true witness. That's Revelation chapter 3:14. The one who is called faithful and true in Revelation 19, verse 11. And what is the language of faith? What is the language of trust? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do we thank him enough? Do we thank him enough? Daniel W. Whittle in 1891 wrote this song. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word the light I found. Now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. As rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free, so life and light and love came forth from Christ living in me. As lives the flower within the seed, as in the cone the tree, so praise the God of truth and grace, his spirit liveth in me. With longing all my heart is filled, like him, like that like him I might be, as on the wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. I don't remember singing that song for a long time, but we used to sing it quite a while ago. Basically, we're selfish by nature. I mean, the world is completely selfish. I mean, there's more road rage now. People are stealing and stuff. It's not a very pretty thing sometimes. In fact, it just happened. One of the doctors, lady doctors, on the last weekend, she was there in Chit. She was in the operating room. She was doing some operations on some of the native workers there. She's from Lusaka herself. And somebody broke into her home and stole her computer, her television, a bunch of other things. And she had had enough. And Gord got the phone call. We were on the road between Ndola and Lusaka from her and tried to somewhat appease the situation, but she says, I've had enough, I'm leaving. So the very next day, she got on the same plane with Tom and Phil and flew back to Lusaka. They're hurting themselves by doing these things. Remember the song Frank Sinatra had written for him, I Did It My Way? What about Burger King? Have it your own way. You know? But what is a Christian one-liner? Give of your best to the master. Let me just address that thought. What is my best? What is your best? Did Jesus die on our behalf in order to expect us to perform on his behalf with our very best? Isaiah 64:6 says what? But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Did you get it? It's not our sins that are filthy rags, but all our righteousness. That righteousness that should be the very best of us, the very best of what we are capable of being and doing. And it's like filthy rags. It's not us. It's not of us. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Oh, Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was like. God knew what it was like and sent the Lord Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And he wants to live. He gave his life for us that he might impart his life to us so that he could live his life in us and through us. Did Jesus go to Calvary to give up? No, not in the least. He came because he wanted and is and will be. He's victorious. No life in witchcraft. Oh, they get it sometimes. But the reality is, how do they make it work? You know, you don't think there's witchcraft here. I was at Bolter on Sunday, and we were eating while at Wayne and Vivian Burbage. And he showed me an article from the Bancroft Times, which was just from the week before. And if you can get it, you can read it. But talk about demonic activity in this country, locally. Just before he was crucified, he gathered his disciples about him and shared with them probably the most significant and relevant truth that they would ever hear. However, there is no evidence that any of them really understood what he was talking about, and that is found in John 14, verse 16 to 20, and I'm going to read it. "And I pray that I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." Christ's own words. Oh, that I would continue to see this. Continue to see this. We as a church have probably as little understanding about this tremendous statement of Christ just to his disciples. And consequently, our response is just as evident. When was the last time you heard someone proclaim the incredible truth that the Lord Jesus died in order to give his life for you? And therefore he will begin to live his life in me and through me. The fact that we hear just the opposite, the Christian life isn't Christ living his life through us, the Christian life in us, doing the best we can on behalf of Jesus. That's what you hear a lot. You know, the health, wealth, and prosperity. I mean, you just go on the and look at some of these TV evangelists, and you wonder where they're coming from. And soon we will make the discovery, if we haven't already, that it's not just difficult to live the Christian life, but impossible, right? So, just because of that, we shouldn't give up in total failure. The same Lord Jesus that took up residency in the lives of his disciples is now living in us, ready to accomplish what he desires. And he will accomplish his work. He will and does. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and as the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." There are two parts to the gospel. Two parts to the gospel. Believing it and behaving it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach." You see, a lot of the times we look at the book of Acts as the Acts of the Apostles, but that's not it, is it? It's the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles. Their lives were not their own. And where have you heard that statement before from the Apostle Paul? They had been brought with a price in his precious blood through that death at Calvary. They were just the branches of which he said, "I am the vine." The apostles were not giving it their best shot. They were the available vehicle in which he lived and through which he is demonstrating his life to all that they came in contact with. How many times did it say that they marveled at what the apostles did or said or whatever? Because they'd been with Jesus. But now Jesus was in them, doing the work through them. Someone said they were not performing butlers, but they were praising believers. Praising him for all that he was doing in and through them. And the same Lord Jesus is living in us. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13, verse 8 said, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. The Bible says he cannot deny himself. He's not the slightest bit interested in what you or I can do for him, because he knows that if you attempt to do something on his behalf, we're going to fail. And as a result of our failure, there will be grief and guilt. And some say, so why even bother? Why? Well, we need to be available. We need to be available for whatever he might want to do with us and through us. We need to step out in faith in the language of faith and trust that says, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living in me. My life is totally at your disposal for whatever you might want to do with me." Yield it to his control. And we need to discover, and we have probably discovered, the reality of this liberating truth of Christ's life. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36, and I'm going to read that too. "Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free,' it says. And they answered him, 'We are Abram's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Have you been set free by the blood of Christ, by his sacrifice? If you are, you have a liberty in Christ. And hopefully that liberty we can yield to the one. Liberty and life. That's the gospel. Not only freed from sin, but to live with Christ in us. Not only deliverance and freedom from eternal death, but freedom in Christ Jesus, to be used of him. How many of you know this song? To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. Oh, how I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. God's word. The simplicity of it and the availability of it. It follows that God is not interested in my ability, because my ability is total inability. His ability is total dependability. My responsibility is total availability. Let me say that one more time. His ability is total dependability. My responsibility is total availability. My responsibility is total availability. And God is searching for those who would be available to him. He seeks people who will respond, allowing him to work within and through them. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 9 says what? The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong towards those whose heart is perfect or loyal towards him. A perfect heart is simply a person who has come to the end of himself and has granted the Savior the right to do and be anything God wants him to do and be. We've already said it, the Christian life is difficult. No, it's impossible. If we're honest with ourselves, most of us are complete failures, really, when we think about it, as we live the Christian life. It's only Christ in us. But listen to this. When I look around, there's the endless trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to live for Jesus, trying to witness for Jesus, or trying to do his will. Seems to be more frustrating and agony than reality. And most of us have heard these words since the very beginning of our Christian life, that it was my responsibility to do all that and more. We have tried and failed miserably, and in ourselves we are incapable of living the Christian life, even though we are giving it our best shot. Christ in us. To discover that I am inadequate is one thing. To admit it is quite another. I cannot live the Christian life because I'm not Christ. It takes Christ to live the Christian life. We don't need to get upset like some people when they hear this and say, don't tell me that I can't live the Christian life. I've been living it for nearly 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Oh, really? Just ask your wife and children how successful you are. Christ in us. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our hope, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The riches of this glory, of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. A God of love and mercy, a God who provided a way back to a relationship with you, yourself. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, whose desire is to restore the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth. And we know, Father, that unless the Spirit draws us, and unless the Spirit reveals to us, we could continue to walk in darkness. But thank you for the day when you found us. And Father, we just pray even now for many of our family, our loved ones who have resisted the call of Christ. Lord, it seems to me that we may not have long for this world, but the day of grace is still here. And so, Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit and through those who would come in contact with some of our loved ones, that you would lovingly convict them of sin and draw them to yourself, so there'd be much rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And Father, help us to live godly before this crooked, perverse generation. And it's coming more so all the time. And Father, give us the courage and the boldness to live and allow you to live in us and through us, in Jesus' name.